Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Roving with the Arts here on KSJE in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners. And the second of many, many programs I have coming up called Local Favorites. Today's local favorite is Paul Berra, sitting right across from me here in the studio. Some of you know Paul as a trombone player. Many of you know him as your piano tuner or your piano technician, depending on maybe you've had some exceptional work done on your piano. But anyway, Paul, welcome to the studio, and tell the people just, you know, in a nutshell, your background. From when you say you've been playing the trombone for about 50 years.
50 years, yeah. I started playing the organ.
Now, that's something I didn't know.
Right. So I was 10, going on 11, and my parents wanted us to play instruments. I had two brothers that were playing guitar, okay? And so I didn't want to play guitar because they were playing the guitar. But I saw Dave Clark 5 on TV.
Oh, I remember them, yeah.
And one guy was standing up playing a Farfisa organ, so.
Uh-huh. That was your start.
And they got me one. Unfortunately, I didn't practice, so.
It's kind of like today, isn't it?
I was taking lessons from a guy down the street. He had a Hammond B3 with a Leslie. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
But I was a stupid kid, you know. I didn't take advantage of it. And eventually, he kicked me out of his studio because I didn't practice. So. It didn't take very long, actually. And then a couple years later, let's see. What year was that? I don't want to say what year it was, do I?
Well, you can.
Okay. Anyway, well, I was 10, so I was like 65.
Right.
About 5 years later, I was putting together a rock band in high school. But I wanted a horn section. So I found a couple of horn players in our high school and got together with them. And they were two trumpet players.
Uh-huh.
So we started out with two trumpets. Anyway, so I'm writing the horn arrangements, and I'm getting bored with just two trumpets. And I didn't, you know, so I said, well, we need a trombone, because we listen to Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Right.
And a friend of mine, Mike, his grandfather was a band director, and he had some old instruments, and he brought in a trombone. And that thing was like, you could see it was like soldered together by, you know, probably his grandfather did it. But it worked. Anyway, so that's when I started playing a trombone.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have any lessons. That's the one bad thing. I did have a few lessons with Jack Morielli. He was a student. He was a studio musician for the Dick Cavett Show, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Jack Morielli. He gave me a couple of music lessons, but he wasn't a trombone player. So I really didn't have any trombone, you know, instruction until I got to college. Luckily, I got to college because my instructor went against the committee and allowed me into the program. They wanted no part of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I stunk. You know? But he said, years later, he told me, he said, you know, I heard something in that tape you sent me that there was some musicianship there that I wanted to check out.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, so. That's how I got started.
Well, you mentioned in the questionnaire that I sent some of your favorite pieces, and I want to get to some music right away. And tell us what you know about the Beethoven equali, because that's what's going to come up.
Well, the reason it's called an equali is because it's for four equal instruments. Okay, so it's for four trombones, I believe, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And actually, he wrote it late in his career, and they played it at his funeral.
Cool.
So it's a very somber piece. That the trombones were only used for sacred occasions. They were. That's why you don't find them in a lot of secular music up before Beethoven.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mozart had used it in operas and stuff, but it was really reserved for important stuff.
There you go. Well, let's listen to the Philadelphia trombone section playing Beethoven's Equali. We just heard Beethoven's Equali for four trombones. They happen to be the trombone section from the Philadelphia Orchestra. Paul not only is a great trombone player, but he's an exceptional arranger. And for years, we played together in a group called Brassworks 4. Tell us a little bit about what's your story with Brassworks 4, Paul?
My story?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was working at the airport as a mechanic, and I started looking for an outlet to play. I dusted off my horn, and I came over here to the college. I played in the community band.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Connie, Connie Schultz.
She'll be on the show some other time.
Well, anyway, so, and we started becoming friends, and Scott also.
Scott Ramsey.
And then you showed up as like superstar, you know, came in and did a solo with the group and
trumpet player, you know.
Yeah. And then I don't know, was it a couple of months later?
Yeah, something like that.
You had the initiative to get a quartet going, right?
I don't remember that, but if you say so.
Well, you're the guy that called, and then you asked me who else we should get.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, well, Connie, of course, you know. Yeah. And I think we already had Scott, right?
Right, probably, yeah. So now we're going to listen to one of your many arrangements for Brassworks 4. This one is Beethoven's Equali. What gave you the idea to...
It just happens to be a quartet, and it's a beautiful piece. So,
it is a beautiful piece.
You know, and you can use it at, you know... Like funerals. If you have a gig, funerals, definitely. Right. I think we did.
Let's listen now to Beethoven's Equali, rearranged by Paul Bera for two cornets, trombone, and euphonium.
You might notice it's a different key because of the range thing.
We just heard Beethoven's Equali rearranged by Paul Bera for Brassworks 4. You mentioned in your questionnaire that some of the highlights of your playing career were, in fact, Brassworks 4.
That's right.
And one of the particularly momentous and memorable occasions was...
Did when you say momentous?
Isn't that a word? It is now. If you use it three times, it becomes... was when we played for... a baseball game up in Denver. Give me a little background to that, Paul.
The year was 1998, and somehow we got invited or we invited ourselves to do the national anthem for one of the Rockies games. And my friend Pete, who lives in Seattle now, I've known him since grammar school, he has a collection of baseball uniforms, and they're vintage baseball uniforms.
That's right, yeah.
And so when I told him we were doing this, he sent the four uniforms out, and that's and we really got decked out.
We also played it for the Connie Mack.
That's right.
And
that's
the governor was there, remember?
Right. Yeah. Gary Johnson, yeah. That was the first memorized program we did.
Oh, my God.
Because we started thinking we better start putting on a show, because the music is good, but, I don't know how long we can keep up good music for, an hour and a half. So we started putting together a program of, a little comedy. Yeah. And we've decided to memorize the whole program.
That's
because
right.
It's a lot.
We did.
We're engaging.
Great.
And so that was the first time we played from memory. It wasn't a very long program, but it was the first one. And
so right now, although we're going to hear Paul's arrangement of Take Me Out to the Ball Game that worked into some of our programs, not the national anthem, obviously, but we like baseball. Paul's a big Yankee fan, so we're stuck with it. Here's Take Me Out to the Ball Game a la Paul Barra. Well, you couldn't help but know the title of that one. Take Me Out to the Ball Game, arranged by Paul Barra for Brassworks 4. Paul, a couple of other questions I asked was to name some pieces that you have played yourself, either as professionally or as a student, that you particularly like and why you might like it. And one of them you chose was Cavatine by Camille Saint-Saëns. What is it about that piece that particularly enjoyable for you?
It just sounds great with the trombone and the piano. And what I like is that it was written for trombone. It's not a transcription. A lot of the repertoire that you hear coming from the trombone are transcriptions of other pieces. It might be a bassoon concerto, stuff like that. So this he had in mind was the trombone when he wrote it, Cool. It's a nice piece to listen to, and it's got a lot of variety of styles in it. And
great. Let's listen now to Cavatine by Camille Saint-Saëns, played by Christian Lindberg, a great Swedish trombone player. Thank you. For those just tuning in, I have with me in the studio today Paul Barra, trombone player and piano technician. And the program today is part of the Local Favorites series that I've put together. And what I've asked local people what their favorite music is, and that's how this is all coming about. So what is it about this particular performance that you like, Paul, or any comments?
Well, it just sounds great. It's a nice, good tone quality, nicely done. One thing that's notable is at the end that the piece normally ends on a high D flat, which is high enough for most of us. Lindbergh wasn't satisfied with that, so he threw in a high F above it.
How do you feel about, I mean, as a composer yourself and an arranger, you're more of an arranger than a composer, I would say. Is that fair?
I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, are there certain things that you don't like that people sometimes do with arrangements?
Well, if they have a better idea and it comes out better, I don't mind. But a lot of times, you know, if they don't play the arrangement that I wrote, it's hard for me to say whether I like it or not.
So when did you play this particular piece?
Oh, back in college. It's a very popular college repertoire piece that...
in part because it's originally for trombone,
yeah.
No?
Yeah,
right. You're listening to KSJE here in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners. I want to remind you, you can tune in this evening at 7 o'clock to hear Fascinating Rhythm and Fiesta that starts at 7 o'clock here on 90.9. We have Paul Barra here in the studio talking about trombone, his particular instrument of choice. He also, one of the questions I ask everybody who's involved with this local favorites program is what their second favorite instrument is, assuming that the one they play is their first favorite. But the trombone is really a loud instrument, or it can be, in the right hands, and it can be beautifully played loud as well. But there are some really dynamic, huge orchestral works that feature the trombone in various places. One of them is going to be, we're going to listen to the first movement of Bruckner's Symphony No. 1 in, is it in C?
You're asking me.
Maybe it's in C. I think it's actually C minor. Yes, it is C minor. We just looked that up. But what is it, Paul, particularly about orchestral playing that you think is really cool?
Well, for the trombone, it's almost like a solo instrument when it comes in. It's reserved for making statements or creating a mood. We hardly play the melody, you know.
Are you almost always, if there's three trombones in the particular piece, do you mostly play all the time, all three of you?
Most of the time, yes, I would say.
Yeah.
That seems that way. There are occasions where there's Divisi, and or the bass trombone might have a part all his own. Beethoven 9, for example, he gives the bass trombone a big solo.
Yeah.
I guess that's another example of early trombone use, anyway, in an orchestral situation. You know, Beethoven was one of the ones that consistently began using trombone as a section.
So what about Bruckner, since you chose Bruckner?
You know, one of my favorite pieces is Bruckner 1. And if you ask any other trombone player, he would never mention Bruckner 1. They're always going for 4 or 7 or 8. And because there's a lot more playing in those for the trombone section. But I just love the piece, you know. And when the trombones... That's kind of a bassoon with a slide. Now, when the trombones come in, it's glorious, you know, for those moments.
Let's find out. The first movement of Bruckner's Symphony in C minor. Thank you. We just heard the first movement of Bruckner's Symphony No. 1 in C minor, one of Paul Bearer's favorites. One of the other things, Paul, you mentioned to me and was that piano is actually your favorite second instrument. Is that still the case?
Yes, it still is.
Okay. Besides being a piano tuner, which you've been for, how many years have you been doing that?
40.
40 years of piano. And you're also, when you started out, you were in New York in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And you were a Steinway technician or?
No.
You were trained at the? No.
I started out, I was a freelance trombone player. You know what that's can be like, right? So I was working. My wife was working at a office building, Midtown Manhattan, and she got me a job as an office boy there. So I was a schlepper, a gopher, you know, and I was, you know, playing gigs, you know, but I used to say I wanted extra income. What I meant was I wanted income. And a friend of mine just happened to mention piano tuning, and it like a bell went off in my head. Mm, I said, interesting. So I bought some piano tuning tools and a book, and this first book that I picked up was, forget about it, it was so technical, it was a waste of time. So I just started doing it, and I found that I had good relative pitch. I can hear the way intervals should sound. It's just a matter of getting the technique down and making the piano wire make those correct pitches and stay there. You know, that was all I needed to do. So, but that takes a lot of practice. And, you know, it took about a year of... I sneaked into a very busy piano shop up on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I worked there for like 6 months. I also worked at another place in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is funny because we were living in Manhattan. I was commuting to New Jersey. And then about 4 years later, we moved to Hoboken.
And working
commuting it to New York, yeah. And it was a tax nightmare, you know, when you're filling out your taxes. Anyway, so I really liked the business, you know, so I just learned how to do everything. I opened up my own shop in 84, I think, maybe, and just kept doing it. But then when we decided to move west, and that was in 1992, I didn't think there were any pianos, you know, I like to say west of the Susquehanna. So I figured, well, that's the end of the piano business. So I got into aviation. That's how I got the job at the airport. That's how we wound up in Farmington.
So what is it about this particular piece of Barber's?
Oh, it is. Well, it's called a nocturne. And, you know, I've heard a lot of nocturnes. I listen to Chopin nocturnes all the time. And I can never really figure out what defines the form of a nocturne as opposed to a prelude or some other short piece. But I listen to this nocturne, and it really sounds like nighttime. Hmm. You know? It's just... I just love it. First time I heard it was at a student recital. I had never heard it before. And after that, I had to go out and find a recording of it.
Well, here we are with a gentleman named John Browning. Is that right? Are we listening
to John Browning,
to that?
Yes.
Yeah. Chopin's... No.
What?
No, Barber.
Samuel Barber.
Samuel Barber's Nocturne. Thank you. We just heard John Browning playing Nocturne by Samuel Barber. Paul mentioned that piano is his second favorite instrument after trumpet and trombone. Anyway, Paul, we're gonna now listen to some more symphonic music that features, or not features, but includes, obviously, the trombone. And we've had a lot of discussions over the years about there are so many recordings available today. You pick any Beethoven 9, for example, and you could probably find 50 different recordings, all of them a little bit different. What is it about certain recordings, and we can use this one in particular, that draws you back to this? This is with Chicago Symphony, right?
Yeah, this is Chicago, James Levine conducting. This is the first recording I purchased this one without having heard it before. I just, you know, just I figured, well, can't go wrong with Chicago, that sort of thing. And so I hadn't heard other recordings of it for a long time. And when I finally did, I was very disappointed in all the other recordings I heard. Kurt Mazur, New York. It was very wimpy sounding to me compared to, you know, this recording. Von Karajan, which is usually, that's another go-to. If I see a Von Karajan Berlin recording, I don't mind buying it without hearing it, because I know it's probably going to be really good. But I don't know. There's certain sections that I require now when I listen to this piece. It's got to be done this way. Otherwise, I'm not satisfied.
Well, here's a little twist on that. Let's say that you heard, this was his Solti conducting, right?
No, this is Levine.
Levine, okay. Let's say you heard the same orchestra with another conductor. How do you react to that? Let's say it was Solti conducting instead of Levine.
Yeah, I think it's more the conductor than the orchestra. I think any competent orchestra could provide the same satisfaction under Levine's baton on this piece.
So it's him. It's the conductor.
It's him. It's him.
Providing it's a first-class orchestra to begin with.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the...
Right.
There's a default,
I mean, if he were
know.
Conducting the Berlin Philharmonic and he did it the same way, it would come out, I'm sure, very good.
Is your ear tuned well enough to, let's say, the trombone section, that you would know the difference between Berlin and Chicago with the same conductor?
No. If it's high quality, I couldn't say that I'd be able to absolutely say, oh yeah, that's Chicago. I could tell it's Friedman playing that,
right.
First part. But I can tell when it's not.
Okay.
You know, you've heard all those Soviet recordings of Shostakovich under Soviet.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Could
Disgusting.
Some of it be recording technique or just equipment compared to?
I don't know.
Well, since
I don't know, it's really bad.
Since we don't know, we're now going to hear the slow movement from Prokofiev's Symphony Number 5 with Levine. You say
you
Levine.
Say Levine. Millie Levine.
In any case, with the Chicago Symphony.
Thank you.
We just heard the slow movement. I think it's the third movement of Prokofiev's Symphony No. 5, with James Levine conducting the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. A favorite of, not just a favorite, but this is an absolute must recording if you're into Prokofiev, according to Paul. Did you like that? You like that performance, right?
I do. Really.
Was there trombone in that? Okay, so we're gonna do one more large symphonic work, and that's Brahms' Second Symphony, which features the trumpets in the finale. They're supported a little bit by the trombones, but what is it about Brahms and trombone and romantic? You mentioned that romantic music, when we're talking of different eras in time, romantic symphonic music. What is it about that you prefer over contemporary music, let's say?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by contemporary music. Contemporary classical music, you
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
I don't even think there is such a thing for me.
There's not contemporary classical?
I can't name one thing that I would...
Bernstein? I mean, that's
okay,
pretty...
Okay, I thought you meant like right now, like...
Well, I don't know much about right now either.
It's just, I just like the sounds, I like the textures of the music. It's very varied. It's not always strictly, formulated, but it takes you somewhere. There's a lot of tension and release, always release, unlike a lot of, if you're going in modern music, not even modern music, from the 20s when they started experimenting with atonal music. That was all tension only. There is no release, so that's I can't listen to that.
What about classical music? You mentioned Beethoven, of course.
Yeah, that would be early romantic, but I like to get a little more meat and potatoes into
nothing before Brahms. Beethoven necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I like
you like Mozart.
I mean, I like Mozart, right. But if it was one of those, if you had one recording to take on, if you're stranded on an island, which one would you want? It wouldn't be Mozart, per se.
I know. It'd be Brahms.
Prokofiev,
Before we finish this, Paul, it's been great fun, by the way. You were the only one who mentioned a couple of pieces you hate. And I think that's worth sharing with the audience. And why? Carmina Burana probably is at the top of your list.
It is. Right? It really is. Why?
What is it that you hate about Carmina Burana? Or is it Karl Orff?
I just hate the sound of it. I think it's disgusting. I just hate I hate everything about it. When I hear... If I start hearing any phrase from that piece, I get agitated.
That's what you said in your...
Yeah, I do. I actually made myself unavailable when it became programmed.
I remember that, yeah. Well, your other one was Bolero by the famous Ravel.
Yeah. It's a piece of junk.
Okay. Well, now we know, and...
A trombone plays, like, what do you mean? We got a great solo in there. Yeah, who cares?
Let's hear something you really like. We're going to hear Brahms' Symphony No. 2, the finale movement to that ends on this glorious major, huge major D.
Trombones.
And there's some trombones in there. We'll be right back. I can't imagine why you like that one.
That's what it's all about, mate.
What's so good about a D major chord besides loud, huh? Oh, that's great. Well, Paul, this has been a great time for me to learn stuff I didn't know about you, which I didn't think there was anything I didn't know. we're gonna finish the hour today with another Brassworks 4 piece that you arranged when we went on tour. And why did you choose these pieces?
Well, the whole piece, this is only an excerpt.
Yeah.
The whole piece is called Tube Tune Torture. And part of my misspent youth was watching a lot of TV in the 60s. And I just remember most of the TV tunes by heart, you know. And it was just nostalgic for me to do that.
We used to have a game when we were traveling on tour to try to find a TV tune that Paul didn't know. And I don't think we ever found one. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, the Merv Griffin Show.
Oh, you got me there.
Uh-oh. I got to write this down. How about, what was her name, Moore?
Moore?
The girl, the lady.
Who's that, Mick?
We're screwing up here.
This is called Dead Air.
I just remember Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was her theme song?
I don't know. I didn't like that show anyway.
There's two. I got two today.
Got to go back to the 60s, not 70s.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. This has been our local favorites with one of my favorites, Paul Barra. We're going to end it with one more of our Brassworks 4 songs featuring two TV tunes, if I remember correctly. Thanks for joining me today, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the program with my guest, Paul Barra, on a series called Local Favorites. You've been listening to KSJE here in Farmington, New Mexico. I hope you can tune in again tomorrow.